Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. We got 24 and a half more minutes to go. Tim Wildman here with Wesley Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, everybody.
Got the watercolor shirt going on.
That's it.
That's it right there. We couldn't figure it out over the break.
But that's the one. That's
it. We were going to go with tie-dye first. Then we were going to go with the shirt of many colors, like
Joseph shirt.
Yeah.
Joseph shirt.
It's watercolor.
I did have a dream. We're going to have 7 years of famine and 7 years
of
money.
So. I got plenty of peanut butter, so.
There you go.
I'm good to go. Ed Battagliano, we're in Tupelo, MS, and Ed's in Nashville, TN, at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. We have a suite there that we're broadcasting from some of our shows today, and Ed's at that suite at the Opryland Hotel. Interesting.
That's a great hotel.
Yeah. Well, they don't. Interesting, though, Opryland is no longer in existence.
Oh, where they would sing.
Oh, it is.
So the theme park.
Oh.
Oh, the theme park. Okay.
There was a theme park in Nashville called Opryland that preceded the Gaylord Opryland Hotel. This would have gone back to probably at least the 80s, maybe the 70s. They tore down that theme park and put a mall up. That mall, what is that called, though? What is that mall next door to your hotel, Ed?
It's got a guitar place in it.
I don't pay attention to malls.
Unless it has pizza.
I held my hand over my wife's eyes when we drove by it. Opry Mills, maybe?
Opry Mills. Mall. Opry Mills mall there. Let's put a mall there. They kill paradise and put up a parking lot. That's not how it goes. What is the name? How's that song go, Steve? You know that song.
They
did something. It's a Joni Mitchell. Mitchell song.
Kill paradise, put up a parking
lot. Was that
lot.
What it was?
Ooh, la, 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 la.
Yeah. Yep, that's it.
Yeah. You're more, you're not really Joni Mitchell.
No, Johnny Mitchell. I think Amy Grant did a version of it.
Anyway, that's what I was saying. They tore the theme park down there and put up a mall. You're listening to Today's Issue. So, Steve, bring forth unto us the news.
All right, let's go here. Let's start with a little bit of a laugh, if we could.
They paid paradise.
Yes.
They didn't kill it. They paved it.
I knew there was something just a little bit off. Pay paradise.
Right. But you do have to kill it before you can pave it.
Right. True. That's what they say.
All right. I've got very, very good news for you all. We have finally solved the crime problem in this country. In fact, we're going to get rid of it. There's going to be no crime overnight. There's going to be no more crime. And we have civil rights attorney Ben Crump to thank for it. So I want you to listen to his plan. This is from a documentary that they're making featuring him. You'll hear a couple of other voices. One of those is Al Sharpton, who's also in this, just kind of commenting a little bit.
That's a dynamic duo right there. Ben Crump and Al Sharpton.
Well, I was going to say that I agree with let's try to get rid of crime overnight until.
Well, let's listen to how he's going to do it.
Cut okay, to. I'll be fair.
We can get rid of all the crime in America overnight, just like that. And people ask how, Attorney Crump, change the definition of crime. Mm. Of course, if you get to define what conduct is going to be made criminal, you can predict who the criminal is going to be.
It sounds like we're criminal, though.
Yeah.
Our existence is
the culture.
Criminal.
But they made the laws. They made the law to criminalize our culture.
To fit up.
Black culture. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's a bunch of
guys. That's a lie. The laws were not made to criminalize black culture.
But it's not
against the law to rap.
You'll have a whole lot fewer criminals if you change the definition of what crime is.
Yes. Listen, the laws are defined. What is illegal is defined to fit everybody.
Right.
You take a gun and go into a bank and say, give me everybody else's money. put it in a bag. That's a crime, no matter what color the skin of the person holding the gun. Now that's just idiotic.
I just don't think Ed's seeing it right.
Oh, you probably, huh?
Oh, give us a different perspective, Wesley.
Yeah,
you know, Ed, I just feel like if you would have just taken a step back and realized that you had an Italian descent, I don't.
Yes,
I'm sorry. I mean, white descent. That's what. Yeah. I don't think that you would have said that so quickly without even looking through the facts.
You mean he's got Italian privilege?
Privilege.
Yeah. So you brought the Italian.
You mean tell you how Italians take privilege? I'll tell you how Italians take privilege.
We're getting off the point.
Well, no, yeah. y'all about to embark on some ethnic stereotypes. Go right ahead.
There are going
to
be Italian protesters out in front of our building if we don't watch out here.
they're going to make us
the five of us in Mississippi.
The five of us in Mississippi.
Anyway, what was the guy's name? Attorney Crump.
Ben Crump
said that, as y'all heard, that the best way we can do away with crime is to change the definition of crime to not be a crime.
Yep.
And
that's
what
he said.
And that kind of thinking is why his wife, Helen Crump, left him.
Yes.
We're getting our watercolors confused.
That's way weird.
I think we are.
That's an Andy Griffith show reference for those of you who pay attention.
Right. Thank you, because we probably should say that Ben Crump does not have a wife that's named whatever you said her name.
Helen.
Now in weather, over to Steve.
Well, there's actually
at the weather desk. Steve, go.
There's a second clip I want to play. This Wesley brought this one in. It's a little bit related in that this is about the way that the left, they don't like the way you define laws. They also tend not to like some facts, right, Wesley?
That's right. They don't like facts as well. We were about to play a clip from Roland Fryer. Roland Fryer is an economist. He's a professor at Harvard, and he wrote a paper back in 2016. He didn't write the paper. He actually had 8 grad assistants, full-time paid, help him conduct a study on is there racial differences in police use of force? Is there differences? And racial differences in the police use of force. And he did it. He didn't like he came out with the conclusion, which we're about to listen to. And then it didn't fit quite the narrative. So he went back and got 8 more grad assistants and redid the study. And it was the same conclusion. And then he got in all kind of trouble for it. And here's the clip.
We collected millions of observations on everyday use of force that wasn't lethal. We collected thousands of observations on lethal force. People lose their minds when they don't like the result. Yes, we saw some bias in the low-level uses of force, every day pushing up against cars and things like that. But we didn't find any racial bias in police shootings. It was a 104-page, dense, academic economics paper with a 150-page appendix, okay? It was posted for 4 minutes when I got my first email. Doesn't make any sense. And I wrote back, how'd you read it that fast? I had colleagues take me to the side and say, don't publish this. You'll ruin your career. I said, what's wrong with it? Do you believe the first part? Yes. Do you believe the second part? Well, the issue is they just don't fit together. We like the first one, but you should publish the second one another time. I said, let me ask this. If the second part showed bias, do you think I should publish it then? And they say, yeah, then it would make sense. And I said, I guarantee you I'll publish it. We'll see what happens. You know, I lived under police protection for about 30 or 40 days.
Yep. Who was that again?
His name is Roland Fryer. Roland Fryer, he's an economist and he's a professor. And he was the first African American at Harvard to reach tenure at 30 years old. He is well known, and he advanced in his career exceptionally
so,
well.
So this is very interesting. So
he was a shining star at Harvard,
right,
for an African American.
He's
brilliant,
right?
But until this study came out, is when
And then he was ostracized by his colleagues because
And threatened,
he said. But what he's talking about here is he did, he conducted research on whether or not the police target black people inordinately in terms of shootings.
That's right.
Or violence towards them, and he said no.
He said no. He took 1 year. He said it took 12 months with eight full-time paid grad students to conduct this. And then he said you didn't hear in the clip, but I've read this. I read the story. That he said. Then he said, based on the conclusion, he's like, something's not right here. So we got to do this again. So he did it again.
Gotcha.
And then still came out with the same answer.
Yeah. Well, but if you listen to Al Sharpton and Ben sure. Crump, you would think that cops are hunting down. Hunting down minorities.
100%. You know? The main point I wanted to bring up from that, since because he had just been re-interviewed, he was just interviewed on February 21st on the paper that he did. He's going around doing some speaking. He was interviewed at Austin University, and that's where that clip came from. And his story and how the far left handled those facts was what I just wanted to reemphasize, how they said, nope, you can't publish.
You know, when this whole, after the George Floyd incident, mm-hmm. where, you know, he died in custody there with the police in Minneapolis. After that, you know, the whole narrative was the cops across America are out to harm particularly black males.
Sure.
And so the whole country rose up against this narrative, mm-hmm. right?
And embraced the narrative.
And embraced the narrative and rose up against the narrative. And the defund the police movement,
that's right,
as it were, sprung up too. But then I began to see people on the street being interviewed over and over and over again, and a lot of leaders, African Americans, saying, "Defund the police? That's nuts. our communities need police like every other community. We don't need less. We need more. We need good cops.
That's right.
We don't need rogue cops, but we certainly don't need a place where there are no cops." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You look at what's happening in these big cities, in the inner cities. I was reading a story about Oakland, California yesterday. That's just a third world country. It's a fourth world country. It's just complete and utter lawlessness in Oakland, California. Almost as bad across the bay in San Francisco. Well, these are progressive utopias, mm-hmm. you know, but predominantly the inner city obviously would be black folks, and the black folks there, the NAACP in Oakland is saying we need more police officers in our community because it's getting too dangerous for people who live here. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's why part of the problem we're facing in this country, because we're so polarized, is especially on the radical left, this isn't about facts. And this is why this Harvard professor is getting so much blowback, is because his facts are getting in the way of the narrative on the left.
Yep.
And when you don't care about facts, you don't care about what the reality is on the ground, you simply embrace whatever fits your narrative so you can get to your goal. And the goal of so many on the radical left is to overthrow the Constitution because we are a systemically racist nation and institute a Marxist utopia. So you even have black people in the inner cities who are saying, listen, we don't believe the narrative either, or if there is some bias, we can fix that by getting the community together with the police and working that out, but we need more cops, not less. And so the people who are suffering in these inner cities are the minorities that are being terrorized by criminals. And if we don't get back to a country where we can all agree on certain things, which is in essence a worldview, none of these problems are going to get solved. They're only going to get worse.
And you know the biggest cheerleaders for defund the police? You know what they got? They got private security guards.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Like Cori Bush in St. Louis, the U.S. representative there. Yeah. And I could cite you others who push.
And when these leftists do get carjacked, they start screaming for more police, too.
Yeah.
Where's
yeah.
the police?
Yeah. Exactly. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Steve.
All right. Let's go to California and see
how. Do we have to?
I'm gonna
you brought up Oakland.
I did.
You brought up.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going
right.
to transition.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm going to take you to my home state. They tried to pass a ban on lawn equipment there. They couldn't quite get it through the this is gas-powered lawn equipment. Of course, it ruins our
talking
climate.
About gasoline. Take it out, put gasoline
in
your
weed,
your lawnmower, weed ear, whatever. They wanted to ban that.
They wanted to. And I'm sorry.
I thought they did.
They did. This is not California. This is Colorado. I'm sorry. Okay. Wrong home state. I actually was in Colorado for 15 years.
Wrong home state.
They tried to do it in Colorado, and they couldn't get it passed. So they gave it to the regulatory agency. The Colorado Air Quality Control Commission voted 8-0 to prohibit gas-powered lawn equipment from being used on public property statewide. This
Why?
Is how...
Why?
That's public property or private as well?
Public.
Oh, public property. That's not private property.
Well, they at
still.
This point.
Next step.
Yeah, that's the next step. So they, the reason they did it, they say that contributes so much to global warming. We're going to say we got to save the planet, so we can't cut our lawn with gas powered equipment. It's kind of wacky, but that's what they say. But
you
the
kinda?
Point here is this is how your life is is impacted by government. It's not always, in fact, it's rarely the laws they pass. Sometimes it is, and they're bad, you know, laws that are passed or amendments or whatever. But they're doing most of their damage by going to the regulatory commission and just making a rule.
Oh, that's right. That's a good point.
Yep. Mowing your grass in Colorado with a lawnmower that you fill with gasoline is not harming the environment.
Nope.
Huh? That's stupid.
Yes. It's a waste of time, too, out of all the things that we can be.
Well, you hate our planet, Tim. You're trying to destroy our planet. How dare you, sir?
Out of all the issues we've got in this country, putting gasoline in a mower is not one of them.
Go for it, Colorado.
Yeah.
Be California.
Make
the people who left California move to Colorado will be moving to Colorado looking to Kansas.
They have green hats that say make Colorado California again.
They're gonna meet a red wall before long.
That's right.
Gasoline.
Banning it.
But
that's a good point Steve brought up. You know, there's a significant difference between a rule and a law that's been passed.
Yeah, they're using official. A government agency. Now they're not able to do if this would really be bad if the state legislature in Colorado banned private citizens.
Right.
This is only talking about public lands.
That's right.
But that's bad enough because they're buying into that whole gasoline causes global warming, fossil fuels is the.
And in California, that was their first step too.
Yeah, and as I've said before here too, the global warming. The carbon emissions, fossil fuels causes global warming / climate change, which leads to our demise, humans here on planet. That's the way it tracks, right?
That's what they say.
Okay. So it's time for those folks to
be careful.
No, they need to say we're doomed. And
right.
Okay. We're doomed. And there's nothing we can do about it.
We're going to use up all the gas we want.
So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will all burn up.
Yeah, there you go.
Because what they keep doing is they keep saying, we're at a crisis moment. We've got 10 years to reverse things or we're going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? In 2034, you know what they're going to be saying? We got 10 years left. Or we're right. gonna reverse things, or we're, and then in 2044 they're gonna be saying we got 10 years left, people, or we're all gonna burn up. What I'm saying is they never get to the end of their road, because because what happens is they're only using this to control, to try to control the American economy.
Yeah.
Now, also the Western economy and economies, but they're using it to try to scare people to death so that they will submit to stupid regulations like can't use gasoline for your lawnmower. And how, why is that? Because we want to control more of your life.
Mm-hmm.
This is how these socialists, these Marxists work. They use fear to try to control people. And for you, why do people give up freedoms? People get up, people, Americans especially are not easily to give up freedoms. But if you scare the heck out of people, they'll put a mask on, they'll throw an experimental
and they won't
shot in their body.
Shot in their body, all in the name of
and they won't go to fear. Church. Because the, you know, that was one of the biggest things that the church was exposed.
Talking about the COVID
lockdowns was the biggest experiment that we saw where the church really needed to strengthen, and that's the First Amendment, because there was a lot of churches that didn't meet in fear of getting in trouble by the government because they said you can't meet because of COVID.
And well, we don't have the time to list them all, but thank God for the red state governors.
Yeah.
During that, after they figured out what was going on.
That's right.
They used common sense. They did seek the advice of medical experts, but they didn't give in to the shut everything down, close everything off, everybody get an experimental shot, or we're all going to die. Doomsday scenario that was put forth there. All right, Steve, we got about 2 minutes left. What else you got
over
there?
The NCAA has given unanimous consent to a new playoff scheme.
I like giving unanimous consent.
Yeah, so they're gonna have a bunch of different. They're gonna have like
you're talking about football, college football. What are we gonna do here?
We're instead of having now they've been doing four teams for the playoffs, but now they're gonna take the top five conferences, the top ranked conference winners.
Okay.
And the next, I think, seven highest rated teams. Now, the reason this is kind of interesting to me is because the conferences are realigning. There's a huge, the SEC is growing. The Big Ten is now the big 150 or something like that.
Yeah.
And the Pac-12 is left with two teams. Yeah. So
Washington State and Oregon State, right?
Well, then
Washington State and Oregon State. So if they're taking
Pac-2.
If they're taking the top finishers from the conferences and putting them in the playoffs, it looks like Washington State and Oregon State have a lot better chance of playing every year for the national championship.
Yeah, all comes down to this one game, a two-team conference.
I'm glad the NCAA is removing all the controversy
from
the playoffs.
Right, exactly.
Man, college football with the NIL and the transfer portals, it's just not the same sport
anymore.
Don't
get me started.
We don't have time for that one either, do we?
Yeah, it's not going to help my school go to any playoff in my lifetime, so I don't really care. It can all burn.
There we go.
College football contributes to global warming.
Yeah. Well, all right, there we go. Probably better for me to stop right there.
Yep.
Listen, we love Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Michigan, but we just, the rest of us just don't want to see that every single year. Huh? Do I speak for America or what?
Roll Tide. I have to say that.
Go Notre Dame.
Notre Dame gets in there every once in a while.
Every once in a while. We don't go anywhere.
I read a story yesterday that said University of Texas is getting ready to take over every sport. And I was going, that's encouraging for everybody else.
That's
here.
Right, yeah.
Huh? They're joining the SEC next year.
Yep.
So, all right. We hope you have a wonderful Wednesday, rest of your day. Everybody, we'll see you back here tomorrow.